What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm cold.
Why are you so cold?
Baby, it's cold outside.
You're not even cold. You just tried to use that as an excuse to sing within the first 10 seconds of the show.
It's freezing in Pittsburgh.
We are indoors.
I know.
I am wearing a t-shirt like a reasonable human
That's
being.
That's because you're a badass, babe. I wish I could be as badass as you.
Well, if you wish in one hand and in the other... I don't really know.
What's the rest of that sentence?
That's an old school saying.
What would the rest of that be? If you wish in one hand, in the other,
see which hand fills up first.
Oh.
I don't know what the significance of that is, but it's definitely a saying. I'm sure somebody listening knows what I'm talking about.
Okay, wait a minute. How do we even get this far into the episode?
Wait, what do you mean this far? I'm just excited that I remember how to podcast.
Babe, we have to address... the elephant in the room. We have to talk about the fact that
Dumbo,
you
Babar.
Are wrong and I am right. Please, can you admit to the Bear With Us audience, you are wrong and I am right.
I can admit that many people have the same skewed view of reality.
Oh my God, you. Babe, you promised me on the last episode, you said if 51% or more agreed with me, then you would admit defeat.
I don't recall ever saying those
words. Babe, we can play it back. You know what? We're going to have our producer edit it in right here. Mel, can you put it in right here just so he can hear it again when he listens back to this episode?
Can I have you admit you were wrong if we have more than 50% of the people agree with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not like all of a sudden going, oh yeah, no, I was wrong. It's a Christmas movie.
Okay, for those of you who did not listen to our last episode, we had a huge debate over the movie Home Alone because Matt does not agree that it is a Christmas movie.
Go back and listen to it. Make your own assessment of the situation. I still maintain that I'm right.
I agree with your reasoning. I can see why you would say that. However, it is f***ing false. It is so false and so inaccurate. And it makes me so happy that I can sit here and gloat because 99% of the people agreed with me. We were getting texts. We were getting tweets from people that don't even listen to the podcast because it, by the way, why aren't you listening to the podcast? That's fucked up. But for people that weren't listening, that were weighing in on the subject, like I was getting texts from friends or coworkers asking me something about work. And then at the end, they'd say, by the way, Home Alone is a Christmas movie. What the hell is Matt thinking? So it's hilarious. The uproar you've caused, my dear.
I didn't cause any uproar. I simply let my very logical viewpoint see the light of day. And I've had many people who agree with me as well.
Okay, many people. Okay.
Maybe not
many
as
people agreed with
many
you.
People who are wrong. But
it's just so funny that at this stage in your life, you're what, 46? How old are you? You're 36 years old and you cannot even admit when you're wrong. Do you guys see what I'm dealing with on a daily basis in this relationship? Because he is this stubborn in this situation over Home Alone. Imagine how he feels over things that are actually serious and things that we deal with in our relationship when he's wrong. He can never admit it. Feel bad for me, you guys. Have pity on me.
It's such a rare occurrence that it's difficult.
I hate you so much. Well. Do you know that? Oh my gosh. But moving on to better things. Let's not argue. We're not here to argue.
No, let's reminisce.
Let's reminisce. It was Thanksgiving last week.
Right. And we didn't do a show.
We didn't,
because we wanted to focus solely on the murder of turkeys.
No, that's not true. We weren't focusing on murdering them. They were already murdered.
Oh, okay.
We were just breaking their bones.
Yeah. Let's talk about this. What was the activity called?
So Brie and I, my sister, we spatchcocked a turkey.
It's
not as dirty as it sounds.
It sounds very dirty.
I'm going to spatchcock you, babe.
I can't wait.
I'm going to cut out your spine and break your breastbone.
God. I've never been more turned on in my life.
So that's what it is. So yeah, last week I spent my time in Fort Lauderdale with my sister, having a little sister time. Sister, didn't know how much I missed you. Got my own mind and okay. My own time.
Tia, Tamara, move on.
We didn't have a big to do. It was me, Bree.
Four people.
Yeah, Matt immediate and family. Bree's brother. Or Bree's brother.
Wow.
We don't have a brother. And if Bree had a brother, it would be my brother too. It was Bree's boyfriend. So it was just the four of us, nothing big. But Brianna and I prepared a feast for about 12 people. We wanted to homemade everything and prepare.
From it was scratch.
Everything was from scratch. The stuffing, the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes, the whatever else.
Various what else other types of potatoes.
All the potatoes were homemade. Everything was homemade.
That's right. Made by hoes.
There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes. Come on, babe, sing it. The people want to hear you sing
it. No one wants to hear me sing.
Everyone wants to hear you sing
it. No. Anyway, continue telling us about your Thanksgiving adventure.
Okay, so we homemade everything, and we had a great time. It was our first time making proper Thanksgiving dinner without, you know, our mother, our grandmother, our aunts and uncles, anyone around. It was just us, so we were a little nervous, but I thought we did well. What do you think?
I thought it was a rousing success. To your point, you definitely made way too much food, which would have been awesome had we had the wherewithal to take leftovers with us when we bailed from the house
for work purposes. We should have.
But everything was very well done. I was pleasantly surprised. The weird thing to me was how I spent my Thanksgiving day.
Wearing your turkey shirt?
I wore a turkey shirt that had the word moist on it due to, you being a sick f***.
Matt hates the word moist.
I despise it. But I sat on the couch and didn't do a goddamn thing. But I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I'm not excited about that. I had a very hard time sitting in the living room watching the Macy's parade in its entirety.
I love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. It's my f***ing favorite thing. Although you didn't call me in when Santa came on, which I was pissed.
Oh, you were making me a turkey. But that's what I wanted to get to. I know it's traditionally speaking, everyone watches TV all day, watches football all day, eats a bunch of food and falls asleep early, right? That's Thanksgiving. But I didn't do anything. And despite repeated efforts and
that's not true. You carved the turkey.
I did carve the turkey, but that was like the first active thing I did that contributed to our Thanksgiving. And that like was weird to me because I'm just instinctively like, okay, where can I help? What can I do? And you and your sister, like a couple of badass wizards in the kitchen, like Emeril
Lagasse
times two.
Bam. Well, we fully enjoy that. And I think Brianna and I were super old school in that sense where like that's sort of how we were raised. The women are in the kitchen, we're cooking, and you know, the men just kind of hang out. I mean, that's how it was growing up. My dad never really did anything to help out on Thanksgiving. He just kind of, you know, hung out and did his thing with, you know, my uncles or whoever else. And then he ate like a champ. Let me tell you that. He did a lot of, we used to call him like the, what do we call him?
Must have been like, a hell of a nickname. All these years later, no
like
trouble
a vacuum,
reciting it.
And he would just take all of the food. He would take up all the food, like any like people's left. Oh, you're not gonna eat that? Here, okay, here we go. Yeah. And he just ate everything. So he did a hell of a job cleaning up the food. But that's just sort of we enjoyed it. We wanted you guys to just sit and hang out on the couch while we prepared. We were feeling very traditional.
I appreciate that and I'm okay with it, but I have to almost mentally prepare myself because I've gotten to the point where even when we're at home any other night of the week, if you're cooking, I at least offer. Oftentimes I don't do
like,
anything
oh,
because
babe, you want some help? I'm over here on the couch so comfy. I'm like, no, it's okay, babe. You stay right there. Don't lift a finger.
Well, listen, hey, if it's because
Mama's going to take care of it.
I don't mind it. I mean, it's just because I look comfortable. But I feel like it's my obligation to at least ask if I can help.
No, I know.
If you've got it, you've got it. And you guys both had it and you were cooking 300 meals at one time.
Here's the thing. I know you're not sitting on the couch with the intent of being like, oh, my woman's in the kitchen cooking for me and I'm going to sit here and put my feet up. If that was how you were thinking, I'd be like, you get in the kitchen and help me. I honestly would feel that way, but I know that that's not like how you truly feel. Like you, it was killing you, I know, to just sit there and not have any part in helping.
I feel like I needed to break the gender barrier. That's what I wanted to talk about today,
yeah.
The traditional gender roles, because you talk about you being in the kitchen making Thanksgiving dinner. while I sat on my ass watching football and drinking beer. It was awesome, yeah, but it wasn't expected.
Right.
And that's what I think is the difference. Like,
but traditionally speaking, for years and years and years, that's sort of how the gender roles play.
Right.
You know, the man sits on the couch, drinks the beer, watches the football, and
right,
the woman's in the kitchen.
Usually during the week, the man goes to work and the woman could potentially make homes, and all these roles are totally thrown out the window.
Right. Nowadays, so different. That's just not how things work anymore.
Okay, so the world's definitely better for having these gender roles broken, but in a relationship, it can kind of get in the way sometimes.
How? How so? How do you see that? Like, in our relationship specifically?
In our relationship, I think we're the exception, but the whole, I've seen, I don't want to say I've experienced it firsthand, but I've seen it, where guys can't be chivalrous anymore because it's taken as an insult to gender roles. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
But not all the time.
Give an explanation.
Like a guy holding a door, being a gentleman, just basic day-to-day stuff. Holding a door, letting a woman walk in front of you, like all those different things.
Well, I think that's a bit extreme for a woman to be like, I have the door myself. Like, I get it. I'm a strong, independent woman. I'm 100% on board with knowing if I want to open the damn door, I'm going to open it. I'm going to kick that fucking door down. But if you open the door for me, I'm like, wow, that's so sweet
right.
of you.
Right. And you're obviously not what I'm referring to, but I actually had an instance a few months ago when I got on an airplane and I'm standing there waiting to get in my seat or whatever, or maybe I was in my seat. And this tiny woman, she couldn't have been more than like 5 feet tall, maybe 75 pounds. This tiny little woman is trying like hell to put her carry-on bag in the overhead compartment. I, just being a reasonable human being, stood up and offered to help her. And you would have thought that I just like smacked her and told her to get back in the kitchen. She was so, I can do it on my own, sir. And I was like, lady, I'm just trying to be a nice guy.
Right.
So then it gets blurry. Like, do right. I not try to help people? I was taught and raised, you know, to be a gentleman. And if right. a woman isn't strong enough, a guy by nature is stronger. Right. What is wrong with that? But she very clearly felt that I was insulting her and overstepping my bounds by just doing what I thought was a totally innocuous deed.
Well, I will say when I'm on a plane, in which we are every single week, if I try to put my bag up overhead and there's a guy that tries to help me, I'm like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I got it. To this point, this is like gets me a little fired up because I think it's funny if I'm trying to put my bag over and like a guy will jump up. Oh, can I help you? I'm like, no, like it's okay. Like I don't need a man to come jump to my rescue and I'm not even struggling or anything like that. Just trying to. And it's like, okay, is it one of two reasons? Is it because they're just trying to be a gentleman and they're trying to be chivalrous? Or is it because like, oh, look at this little woman over here. She can't fucking put the bag in the overhead. So I'm going to try to do it for
her. I would say that probably never happens. It's probably aside. Like I was the exception where it wasn't because, oh, cause you're a woman and I'm right. a man. It was, here's a human being with an issue I'm trying to address.
Right.
But because of these, what were the gender roles, which are now completely taboo to the point where if you do something nice for somebody, it's an insult. And it's like, I grew up, and you compliment me on this all the time, being a gentleman, being chivalrous.
I love that about you.
It's like inherent in me, and I teach it to my children, and that's a value that's very important to me. But not everyone agrees.
My dad was a big provider. He was a caretaker. He would fucking kill for his family. I've seen, you know, if someone talked to my mom the wrong way, my dad would like, I would hate to be on the receiving end of that because my dad is like a bear, you know, protecting his cubs, his family. However, I would not say that he was a gentleman. It wasn't ever like, oh, let me do this for you, honey, or let me, like, it wasn't in a gentlemanly manner. So I remember growing up being like, oh, like, I wish, you know, dad would do that for mom. Like, I just kind of thought that in the back of my head. So growing up, I was like, well, when I grow up and get married, I want to be with a gentleman. I want to be with someone who opened the door for me. And I feel like I'm very old school in that sense where I don't look at it as a bad thing that a guy, you know, will be a gentleman. And I'm just so grateful that that's what you are. I found my gentleman. You're just so gentile. But don't
gentile
get me wrong.
Gentile and gentle are two totally different scenarios.
What's gentile?
A gentile is a non-Jew.
Oh.
You're bringing religion into this. I mean, I guess by definition, I'm not. I'm a hell of a Gentile, apparently.
I was just trying to say it with an accent, like gentleman.
Well, you added a letter and changed the entire
thing. Okay, well, that's not what I was trying to do. But don't get me wrong. He's not gentle in all aspects, if you know what I mean.
Thanks. I'm not auditioning for somebody. Like, he's quite a gentleman, but not all the time, but
not
at the right
time. Yeah, at the right time, he's a gentleman. Okay, so what are other examples of gender roles?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest one, the most frequent, easy stereotype is the woman in the kitchen cooking and cleaning, making the home while the man works.
Right.
Which, obviously, kind of an archaic way to live. I was a fan of that, though. I always kind of grew up thinking, like, not that my woman shouldn't be capable of working. I want to handle that. That's my load. Now, and you've opened my eyes.
How do you feel about this? What we're in.
Well, so that's an adjustment to me. Even versus like past relationships, I know because it's tangible that you have this skill set and drive and motivation and you can be a success on your own without me. So it's kind of cool to see, like, I don't question that anymore. It's not like, baby, I'm sure you could be a big star, but you're great at the kitchen. It's not one of the, you know what I mean? It's not like that
right.
kind of weird. I don't want to say an adjustment, but it's different to be able to realize, like, I truly feel like I have a partner, like I have an equal.
Right. Yeah,
for the first equal. Time where, you know, obviously you always want to respect who you're with and your partner and who you love. But I feel like there's a second alpha in the bush, so to speak.
Right. Well, we had this conversation with Brie and her boyfriend. Like the night before Thanksgiving, we were playing Cards Against Humanity. We were having a few drinks and stuff. And he was saying to you, like, what's it like being with an alpha female? Mm-hmm. Like, because me and my sister are so similar. Where I guess I never thought of myself as an alpha female, but I guess I am. Is that a bad thing?
No, I'm into it.
But like you're saying, it is sort of an adjustment to be with someone who works as well. But to me, I like that I can work. I like that if I need something or want something, I get it. I don't rely on a man for any of that. Like, I'm only with you because I want to be with you, not because you provide for me or you do this for me or you do that for me. Like, oh my gosh, I feel stuck, like, because he pays for this for me. Or,
yeah.
Like, I'm with you because I want to be with you. But on the other side, I like the sort of traditional female role. Like, I love to cook. I love to make sure, well, I don't love to clean, but I'm OCD with cleaning. I want to make sure our home is always clean. Everything's in its spot. And I like that you just, like, when I'm cooking, you're hanging out on the couch and we're chatting, we're bullshitting, laughing, but I'm not like, ugh, why am I doing this? I genuinely like it.
And I get anxiety. Well, I did. I've gotten to the point now where I'm sort of used to it and I don't stress, but the first few times, particularly in this home that we're in now, because you can see the living room from the kitchen and it's all wide open. And yeah. I'm sitting there watching God knows what. And I keep glancing over going, is she pissed yet? Is she pissed yet? She's going to be pissed. Oh, I got, hey, babe, you need any help? No, I'm good. Oh, she's going to be pissed about something. Like, I just find myself panicking at first, but I've gotten over it. But the thing about you being a strong, independent woman, honey. See, I can do it too. The thing about that is this time of year, I hate it.
Why?
I dread this time of year when it pertains to you because you are the single hardest person to buy gifts for that I have ever known in my life. Because to your point, you do what you want. When you want something nice, you just go buy it. When you want a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes, it's not like, hey, baby, for Christmas, this is what I want. Like, you come home and go, oh, look what I bought. 3 pairs of. And I'm like, baby, that's weird and crazy and irresponsible, but you look hot. So it's great.
Irresponsible? How?
I don't know. I was just trying to tie this into Christmas. People listening that can relate to the fact that you are impossible to shop for because you obtain everything that you want on your own.
Like, if my mom says, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I literally don't want anything. And yeah. I feel bad even saying, oh, I want this. Like, I don't want to make someone go buy me something because it's something I want. If it's something I want, I'm going to go work for it to buy it. Like, it feels very, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. Selfish, like, to be, I want this and then someone's going to go buy it for me. What? That's weird. When I was younger and I was broke as a joke, my mom would say, what do you want? I'm like, I need new wrestling boots. So that's what she would buy me. Mm-hmm. Or I really need new gear for this upcoming
right,
you need show. Something like something sure. that I need for work. She would buy that for me. Or like, I need new knee pads or something.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I don't know. There's nothing that I need. There's things that I want. But if there's something I want, I'll buy it. That's why I think when it comes to gifts, especially when it comes to you, I want something that is meaningful. That's why last year, you kept asking me what I want. What did I want? I wanted you to write me a poem. because you're so good with words. And that's what you did. You wrote me a poem and it made me cry. It was so beautiful and it was heartfelt and it was thoughtful. I didn't need anything else.
Sure, but I still got you other things. And yeah. I am going to purchase more things for
you. But things that I didn't necessarily need. You got me like Calvin Klein underwear and a pair of Ugg boots, which is great. And I'm wearing them right now. They're great for the winter. Could I have got them myself? Yeah. That's why I just feel bad. I don't want you to get me things that I don't need. Like yesterday we're watching something. We wanted to get HBO Max because for whatever reason, our TV downstairs has like a weird app. Like we can't get it.
No, it's the brand of the TV doesn't support the app.
Yeah, which is fucking weird. So I have an Apple TV that I've had for years. So we tried getting it on that, but it was an old generation Apple TV. And Matt's like, don't go buy a new one. I'm like, babe, I don't need a fucking Apple TV. We have 6,000 apps on this TV. Even if there's something I can't watch, I'll go watch it upstairs. But again, I understand. It's difficult to shop for me. This year, I want another poem. That's all I want. Because it's the one time a year you put, not that you don't put effort, but the one time a year you have to take time and put something together and formulate these beautiful words for me. And I really, really, really appreciate that. Whereas before, when we're in a long distance relationship, you really had to be good with your words via text message and say sweet things and nice things. But you don't do that anymore because we're around each other every single day.
I'm not sweet anymore because we live together.
Not quite as sweet. Okay. Although yesterday, I will say, you were so sweet for me. Going back sort of to gender roles, and I'm nowhere going back.
I'll take it. You're trying to navigate the waters. I appreciate this growth. Continue.
The fact that you just said that makes me feel like a loser.
No, I'm serious.
So I had
foosball?
I got food poisoning on Monday night. So I was sick all day on Tuesday. Did not feel well. And I don't think I'm would you consider me needy?
Generally not.
Okay. So I don't think I'm a needy girlfriend. Like if there's something I want, again, I get it. But yesterday I was so needy all day. I was like, babe, can you get me water? Babe, can you get me this? Babe, can you get, and I felt so bad, but it also felt nice. I'm not going to lie.
It felt nice
to have you wait on me hand and foot.
I was hovering around the apartment like Mary fucking Poppins yesterday at your beck and call.
It was great. He gave me 2 foot massages, which never happens. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to really take advantage of this right now. I was like, babe, can you rub my feet again? And you're like, ugh. And you start like rubbing them again.
The truth comes out. You accidentally told on yourself because you complained the first one. It wasn't as long as promised.
It was 90 fucking seconds. A 90-second foot massage is better than no massage. However, you're the one that offered. You're like, babe, what can I do? Can I give you a massage? And I was like, oh, I feel bad. And you're like, I'll give you a massage. So he gives me a foot massage.
This massage
lasts 90 seconds. If you offer someone a massage, I'm sorry. I'm thinking at least 10 minutes.
Listen, I offered you a massage a good 45 minutes to an hour before you decided to take me up
on it.
Well,
because I was like,
My inspiration was dwindling. I asked you because I was feeling awake and alert and ready to like, you know what? Maybe if she wants a massage, here's the moment. It wasn't to be cashed in at the moment of your choosing.
Well, because
it
wasn't a massage coupon. I was trying not to take advantage of you.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I'm going to let him simmer on that. And then, you know what?
So instead, when we're watching a movie later on in the evening that I'm trying to mildly pay attention to, then you decide.
Oh, you can't massage and watch a movie at the same time? I'm sorry, you can't multitask?
I cannot adequately massage a foot.
Okay, well, babe, let me tell you, there was no adequation involved.
Adequation.
It was like this. This was the foot massage. It's like, babe, love that. Thank you.
I can't wait to get a gif of that and just play it on loop of you twisting imaginary.
He's like, you like this massage? Like, it's great, babe.
You remind me of the guy with the coconuts from Monty Python. That's how the horse gallops.
It was great. However, the 90 seconds was not long enough. So I let a few minutes go by and I said, hey, can I have another one? The whole point of this conversation is I was having a hard time at first asking you for things. And I was like, you know what? No, I never ask for things. So today I'm going to be a little needy bitch. And I was. And I appreciated you taking care of me. Did I not say that last night?
You did.
Babe, I really appreciate you. Thank you for being such a good partner, taking care of me all day.
And then you told me to get the f*** back in the kitchen.
That's right.
Well, that won't happen again.
But I love that we're in a relationship like that where we're not, like, you're not very needy, I don't think. You're never like, get me this, get me that.
So this is a thing that sticks out to me. I know we've talked about it in the past. I think I go out of my way to do things on my own, particularly as pertains to things like grab me something out of the refrigerator, go do this little task. Because growing up, and I not speaking out of line, I have a great relationship with my dad. He's a great dad. I had a great childhood. This is not some deep-seated issue, but my dad has a tendency to be a little bit on the lazy side. And my mom, despite working most of my life that I recall, I mean, both my parents worked, and my mom worked full-time and then would raise us. And my mom was a badass.
I was going to say a everything. Bad bitch, yes.
So it kind of just irked me. And it wasn't until I got older, maybe when I was in high school, I was like, God, I don't know if I've ever seen my dad get off the couch to get himself a drink or anything out of the refrigerator. It's just not a problem, not an issue. Just like, man, that's kind of weird. And then I started paying attention because it never happens. If my dad would just go, hey, hun, can you grab me this? Hun, can you bring me that? And she would. Right. And I don't think she has a problem with it. It wasn't like she was in duress or right. distress. It was just like that kind of sat weird with me. So I carry that over today. And that's probably why I am as self-sufficient as I am and don't do things like that. You ask me all the time, babe, what can I get you?
Right.
And even if I want something, I'm wired to go, I'll just get it myself because of that. And it's not right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just kind of where you go, babe, can I bring you something? Can I get you a beer? I may have an empty beer can sitting in front of me, but I'm more inclined to go, no, I'm good, babe. And then I'll get up and go to the bathroom and then grab it when I come back or something.
But how funny, because again, talking about gender roles, that traditionally speaking was how it went.
Yeah.
You know, a guy would go to work, he'd come home, sit on the couch and get waited on hand and foot.
Sure. Any of the shows we watch, I mean, Happy Days or Leave It to Beaver, Ward Cleaver came home from work. His wife brought him his pipe, his slippers, his newspaper.
Just waited on him, which is fucking hilarious.
But mom stayed home and, right. and raised the family and took care of the kids. So it's kind of striking to think about how different things are. And it's not uncommon now for guys to be like the homemaker. You know sure. what I mean? I did that for a cup of coffee when Cash was born, my first son.
Yeah.
Because she had an actual career. I was kind of making ends meet however I could.
Right.
And it was like, oh, this is weird. I'm going to sit here. But that made me crazy.
Right.
Being in that role just because I'm not too proud for it. It's just not familiar with me.
Right. Well, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for a woman or a man who stays home, takes care of the house. Like, that's not fucking easy. Taking care of the kids, making sure everyone has what they need, taking care of your partner when they get home. Like, that is not an easy job. So, but I will say I commend you because seeing that growing up, right? Seeing that was sort of how the lifestyle went with your dad getting taken care of by your mom. You saw that and you were like, nope, I'm not going to be like that. Whereas I think a lot of people, we take the traits from our parents. We see how things were growing up and then we just continue to follow in their footsteps. Mm-hmm. So you kind of like broke that cycle, which I think is good for you. You saw that and you didn't want to be like that. So now you're not.
It wasn't like I overcame some sort no, of but really difficult.
Of just course. Like, but, you know, a lot of the times we see what our parents do and that's what we do.
Yeah.
And you decide, you recognize that that's not a way that you want to live your life and you're not. And now you're waiting on me hand and foot. Massaging my foot.
Twice.
90 seconds total.
Who has it better than you, by the way?
Oh, who has it better than me?
Yeah.
Who is it better than you?
I mean, you had it pretty great to begin with, but in the last week or so, you have had it better than...
The last week. Tell me, explain. Last week.
I'm getting there.
Waited on you hand and foot on Thanksgiving. You didn't get your ass off the couch. You sat there, drank beers, watched football while I slaved away in the fucking kitchen.
No, you, Leah, have tasted how great a relationship can truly be when your partner is perfect. Because as of several weeks ago, I now connect with you on a whole other level.
Matt has seen the light. Amen. We watch Friends together now. Like, what the f***?
People listening after that buildup are going, wait, that's it? That's the
okay,
big change?
Okay, anyone
that's
that knows me
is
knows.
Matt watches Friends now.
I am obsessed with Friends. Friends is my all-time favorite show. Anyone that knows me knows Friends is it. I recently got Matt into watching it. We watched one episode when we were in Orlando a few weeks ago and he was cracking up. I'm like, see, I told you it's fucking funny. That was the one thing with our relationship that was, I had a bad taste in my mouth about. Like, I could not make Friends jokes, make comments, quote certain episode because you wouldn't get it. So I felt like part of me like was missing. But now you have added this piece back into my heart, into my soul, into my body, into my life. And we are one.
Listen, we're one step closer to being one because you're wearing a motherfucking Pittsburgh Pirates hat.
How haven't you commented on that yet?
I've been staring at it
the
entire time.
I wore it for you.
Yeah, well, listen.
That's because you gave me that foot massage yesterday. See, look what happens when you do nice things.
Oh, cool.
I do nice things back. All right, what do you think, babe?
I think I'm tired of living in the past. I want to look forward to the future before we get to the mailbag.
Okay.
Because I think we had an awesome amount of feedback over the Home Alone episode.
We did.
The controversy that followed. And I like when the Bear With Us listeners get to partake and interact. So
you guys are the best.
You guys are awesome. So thank you. Continue to fill the mailbags and inboxes there.
There's only one mailbag.
Well, there's one mailbag, but there's Instagram and Twitter DMs and things
Pinterest,
like that.
Pinterest, TikTok.
Are we on Pinterest and TikTok?
Facetune.
You're just naming platforms now. We're not on those.
Calendar. MySpace. OnlyFans.
I was actually trying to take care of some business here. Okay. OnlyFans one of these days.
Venmo. Cash App.
You're sick. You're not right, man. We want to know once 2020 hits, because it's right around the bend.
Babe, we are in 2020.
Oh, yeah. 2021.
What is wrong with you today? I love this, Matt.
Why?
I just love you. Once 2021 hits, you mean.
Okay. So I was off by a month.
A year.
Well.
Anyway, keep going. Get to where you were going.
I was just going to see what everybody wanted the show to sound like. If they want guests.
Ooh,
if they want different elements. If they want certain things we're not giving them.
I think guests is a great idea. And you and I have been having this conversation for a while now. We're curious what sort of guests you want. Our friends, some of our family. I did see someone write in saying something that they would like to get another person's perspective on our relationship.
Sure.
Maybe it's one of our friends, maybe my sister, someone that can, like, because we're in here all the time talking about ourselves. What if there's someone else that comes in and talks about, oh, well, actually, they're like this or they're like that. And we're just totally in here lying and making things up all the time. Who knows? But that's a good idea. Do you want like a sex expert, a therapist? Do you want celebrities? I mean, not that we really know any celebrities, but maybe we can make some shit happen. There's so many different options. Maybe there's something we don't even know about that you guys want. Let us know.
There you go.
Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin around your neck, Sherry, and we will do the best.
Ha, da, da, soup du jour, da, da, da. Cheese souffle, something, something, and flambé. Right?
I think so.
Great. What's in the mailbag?
Pa-pow. Also, here's the email address. bearwithuspod@gmail.com.
You stepped on your own bit.
I know, babe, but I'm just saying we have to give them the address for where to email.
Here's how
us.
We do this. Guys, send your questions, comments, answers, input to bearwithuspod@gmail.com. Hey, Leah, what's in the mailbag?
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my little tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Question number one, honey. Hi, love you guys. I just got into a new relationship and we have been talking since August, but I'm having a hard time with a few things. One, how do you deal with the change of not getting laid or any physical attention, including cuddling with someone, versus when you are single and can always find your fix? Two, this person is a Capricorn and I'm a Leo, so he is way more chill than me. How do I let the little things I have issues with and not fight so I cannot stress us both out? By the way, y'all need to include Pixel and Pyro in the theme song. That is true. Okay. Well, the first question, let's go with that first. When you're single, apparently, you know, you can just go find piece of ass around the corner if you want. And when you're
This is the difference between being a man and a woman.
Because this if is a dude girl.
I'm just saying this is a completely different scenario based on sex. If a woman is single and just wants to get after it for a night, you can do that. There is never going to be a hang up. I mean, there might be. You might have like slim pickings on what's available, but if you want to get laid, you can get laid. As a dude, however, no matter how frustrated and horny you and wound up you can be, you still have to navigate these waters differently and carefully, and it's not as readily available. You could be a good-looking dude and walk into a bar and just chicks not be into you or whoever, whatever the situation is. They just don't. It's like fishing. with a woman, you're fishing with dynamite.
With a guy, you're fishing with nothing at the end of your pole.
Yeah, just like a Vienna sausage.
Okay, so then how do you deal with that?
I don't know. I've never had to deal with getting laid too much.
No, but how do you deal with being in that situation? When you're single, you can go do that. But when you're in a relationship and then your person is not giving it to you.
Right, well, I'm saying I've never been in this role, so I
haven't either. So, but again, there's a lot of things that our listeners write in that we might not necessarily have dealt with.
Right.
But I guess it's just something you're going to have to talk to your partner about and just say, hey, listen, I need to get f***ed. Like, it's been a minute. I need your d-. Maybe you put on some cute lingerie or do something to like just really turn him on. Or maybe you take advantage of him while he's sleeping. Just a little. Like, would you ever get mad if you woke up and I was, you know?
No.
Exactly. Guys don't get mad about that. It's girls, a pleasant surprise if you wake up and she's...
Think about that. Think about that dichotomy right there. Just to my point about how it's difficult being a dude in a situation like such. You, as a woman, can go, hey, I'm going to wake him up in this particular fashion. And you know that while I may be groggy or a little confused at the moment, it's going to work out in your favor.
I wouldn't get mad if you woke me up like that. Have you ever tried?
No.
Exactly. So how do you know? How do you know if you've never tried? That's like when you said you didn't like avocados. And I said, have you ever had one? And you said, no. How do you know if you never tried?
Fair.
So maybe try, and then we'll get back to you next week on that. Second part of the question. I'm not sure about the sign thing, okay? When it comes to getting mad about certain things, you have to let things go. You have to pick your battles. That's one thing my mom always told me when I was a kid. When you grow up and you get in a relationship, you can't get mad about every little thing. If you have to decide if it's a hill you want to die on, if it's something you really want to, you're upset about, then sure, get mad about it. But if it's something you're not going to be mad about in a few days or next week, don't fucking cause a big fight over it. It's not worth it. When it comes to the signs, I'm not quite sure, which is something another thing I want to do in the future is have
an astrologist
on our show, because I think our signs are perfect, but I've been in relationships with other signs and we're both water signs. So that's great. Question number two. Hi, Matt and Leah. My boyfriend and I have been together for almost a year and a half now. We do not live together. I have a 6-year-old son and he has 2 kids. They are 10 and 13. Everything is amazing when it's just us, but when it comes to us and his kids, it is a struggle. They aren't very pleasant, and his 10-year-old daughter is manipulative, jealous, and straight-up disrespectful. I have 2 questions for you. 1, how would you handle it if Matt's kids were this way? 2, do you ever have disagreements when it comes to parenting and boundaries? Thanks in advance.
First off, make sure you're not listening to this answer in his presence, because yeah. That's a surefire way to disintegrate whatever's happening.
Right. And first of all, they're kids. Of course, you know, kids, they're not going to be perfect. There's going to be character flaws and things that you might not think are great, but they're his kids. So no matter what, you have to respect them and you have to deal with them. Like, if you want to be with him, like, that's a deal breaker. Like, you have to realize it's been a year and a half. You either stick it out or don't waste their time. You don't want to be involved in these kids' lives if you don't like them. Like, that's going to be a long life ahead of you if you don't like his kids.
Total deal breaker. He's a package deal. The kids are going to come with him or be part of his life no matter what. And if you can't get along with them, just cut your losses now, because it's never going to work. I understand it's not easy. It's got to be daunting. I mean, Leah will tell you firsthand, it is unfamiliar. It's unusual. But if you don't figure it out, a way to coexist with his children and get along with them and realize what they mean to him in his life, your relationship is doomed. And if you can spend all day trying to change things and twist things and turn things, those are his kids. Just like she said, she has a kid.
Yeah,
well,
like, what
right?
if he thinks those
yeah,
things
what if he
about
thinks
your
kid sucks?
Yeah.
Well, and your kid might suck to everybody else, but it still doesn't suck to you.
Because it's
so
your kid.
It's your kid. Just like your kid is a package deal with you, you got to look at it the same way as for the dude. And if it's something you guys can't work out, then it's best to just move on. But if you can make it work, it's awesome.
And when it comes to the boundary thing, I think you and your partner have to have a conversation with how you deal with each other's kids, because you can't make exceptions for your kid and not follow those same rules when it comes to his kids. And I think that's something I'm trying to figure out with you, because at first with the kids, I'm like, I don't want to yell at them or say anything like, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that.
You can't just jump into the role of mom.
Who am I? Like, who am I to say you can't do this? But at the same time, they're at our home. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't like a home I just come and visit. Like, I live there all the time. So if they're, you know, doing something with the furniture I don't like, I should be able to say,
sure,
get off the furniture like that. But I sometimes still don't, because I'm like, oh, I don't want them to hate me. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to, like, I just love them so much. I don't want them to think anything differently of me. But you're like, they'll respect you more if you don't let them get away with these things, because they realize they can't, you know, push you around like that. So it's about trying to find the balance and trying to figure out how it all works. We have one more question.
Beautiful.
Question number three, honey. I have been married for 10 years and have 4 kids under 10, 7, 6, 4, and 1. When we got married, I was in shape, weighed about 40 pounds less. My husband, on the other hand, was bigger and has lost weight since health issues. But anyways, I feel gross now, and I feel like it affects me in our relationship. He says it doesn't matter to him, but I feel like it's a big issue. Any advice?
I would say that if he isn't making it an issue, if the romance aspect is similar to how it's been, it's not like all of a sudden he doesn't pay attention to you, he probably doesn't care. It's one of those things, like you make up for what you lack in physical appearance in other aspects of a relationship. So maybe he's got 4 kids with you. Maybe you're a kick-ass mom and a great wife, and he genuinely is totally fine with you putting on a couple extra pounds because you're giving him a great life as his partner. So I wouldn't think that there's some underlying secret that he's waiting and festering over, going, oh man, this girl, I really want to tell her to fuck off and lose weight. I wouldn't worry about that.
I'm going to totally interject and not say that what you said is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, as a woman, it's all in your head. It's based off of what you're feeling and how you look at yourself. It has nothing to do with him. It's all you. So you're not feeling your best. So you got to figure something out to make sure you do feel your best. Sure, yeah, you gained 40 pounds. That's fine. But you're not feeling like yourself. So do something to lose the weight or do something to embrace your new body. But you're not going to be happy in that relationship. You're not going to be confident in the bedroom around your husband until you feel confident with your body. So if being a little bit lighter will make you feel better, get in the gym, start eating healthy. If you don't have time because you have kids, just work on your diet. And if you, once you start feeling better and more confident, you're going to feel so much sexier for your man, because there's nothing that your husband can say or do. He can tell you you're the most beautiful woman in the world. You're still not going to believe it if you don't think it yourself. Mic drop.
Bam. There it is. It's all downhill from here. I mean, downhill to the finish line of the show.
Oh, not I'm like, damn, babe.
No, actually, before I leave, I had this thought. You know how I do this thing now where I wake up in the middle of the night and just stay up for a couple hours, and then
my little night owl.
Yeah. So I did it last night, and I was thinking, I'm going to say it out loud to see if it makes any more sense than it did in my brain last night.
Uh-oh.
It's that going forward, in order to have fun, we spend our lives trying to master the perfect booze to activity ratio to make the time be the best. Those of us that drink, think about it. You spend all this time, you know what you like to drink, you know when you like to drink generally. But it's constantly a balance. Like, do I have a little bit more and it becomes a rager of a night, but then I'm going to feel like garbage in the morning? Do I not drink as much and have a better time and remember every activity that happened that evening? Is always a learning process. And that's what I was thinking about at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, babe.
That's fucking deep. Well, that's where my brain was going. But no matter
I really thought it was going to be something a little more profound.
No.
Booze to fun ratio.
It is. It's constantly, you got to adjust it. You got to add a little more. You got to take a little bit out. It's a balance.
This is my life, you guys. This and dealing with someone who never believes he's wrong. Here we go.
You were sleeping. What do you want me to do?
How jealous are you guys? I love you.
Goodbye,
if you
friend.
Want, I can help you out with the booze to fun ratio.
Oh, yeah?
The boobs to fun ratio, I mean. These little knockers.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. I'm going to spatchcock you, babe.